Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Teal Time with David Teal. It's been a couple weeks, so Teal got a little startled by my early morning delivery.
Cobwebs.
Yeah, so we were off last week. David Teal actually sort of took a little bit of a vacation.
Yeah, I was home. I had a lot of fires to put out.
So he's back. We're back. We're recording this on the 18th of December. We'll do our normal podcast. I'm telling you this just to know that there will be another podcast, even though we physically won't be in the same room next week. And so that'll get you through the holidays, and then we'll be back in the new year.
Cool.
In person to talk. Because I know this is the highlight of David Teal's week. It actually is the highlight of my week.
Speaks to your work duties.
Yeah. Tell me you don't want to see me more than your daughter. All right. So we got a little bit to talk about. So
sure.
We have the bowl season starting, I guess, in earnest on Saturday and now heating up. We have recruiting. Signing day is Wednesday the 19th,
yeah,
which is tomorrow. And hoops. So let's get started with the bowl stuff.
All right.
We won't talk again. You'll hear a podcast from us next week, but you and I won't talk about the playoff before it happens, the first two games of the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just start there. We have Virginia Tech and Virginia, and we'll get to them. But just shortly on the playoff, what do you think is going to happen?
I think Alabama and Clemson are going to play for the national championship.
And what do you think is going to happen in that? I know we'll get to talk about that.
Yeah, we got some time to noodle that one.
Does Alabama, I mean, I don't think Oklahoma is going to be able to stop anything.
Right.
But does Tua's health
yeah.
matter, you think?
I think it does somewhat. But as Jalen Hurts proved in the SEC championship game, the drop-off is negligible at most.
It definitely gives Oklahoma a little bit more to prepare for. But, I mean, you could argue that the second half of that one game cost Tua Tagovailoa the Heisman Trophy.
Yes, agreed. And the comparison that jumps to my mind is Alabama and the Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the Eagles go into L.A. on Sunday night without Wentz, and they win, not a huge surprise. Nick Foles won the Super Bowl last year. And Jalen Hurts and Tua are quality quarterbacks, proven quarterbacks. To me, still, and I know we mentioned it the last time we recorded, the most amazing stat from that SEC championship game was that with Tua a quarterback, Alabama did not convert a third down. And then Jalen Hurts gets in the game, and the Crimson Tide goes, I think it was 5 for 5 on third down, didn't miss a one. It was just amazing. It was like flipping a switch.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it is what it is. So of the two, Alabama and Clemson, which do you think is more likely to be upset?
Clemson. Just because Notre Dame can defend far better, I think, than Oklahoma can. And defense travels, and that should keep it a little closer. But I just think Clemson's defense is so superior that I think they'll lock up Ian Book and company.
Did you see that Georgia's backup, Justin Fields, is going to transfer probably?
I did see that, and somebody tweeted that this would be, I think, the sixth consecutive recruiting class that one of the top two rated quarterbacks ends up transferring.
I think Jake Fromm has to be the only quarterback in college football history to run off two number one quarterback recruits. Jacob Eason left and is at, I think, Washington. And now Justin Fields will probably have the pick of the litter when it comes to schools.
You would think.
Yeah, I mean, you could think of, just from seeing him, what you see him this year, you think he'd probably fit pretty well at Ohio State, probably fit pretty well at Oklahoma.
But he's not going to be eligible immediately, is he?
It depends upon if he gets that hardship transfer. But no, if he's not granted hardship eligibility, then no.
Right.
He's got to sit a year out.
Yeah, because he's not in a position to graduate.
No, he's a freshman.
Yeah.
And Georgia's probably going to restrict him from transferring to SEC schools or Georgia Tech. So not that he would go to Georgia Tech, but that limits, you know, Florida or places like that. So just interesting that these quarterbacks continually pick schools where there's already an entrenched starter and expect one way or another that they're going to end up on the field. And, you know, not everybody's Trevor Lawrence.
Right. Speaking of quarterback transfers, where did Kelly Bryant end up going, Auburn or Missouri?
I think Missouri.
Okay.
I think. I should look that up before I say
I shouldn't have blindsided
sure.
you like that, but I was out of pocket last week and not paying a lot of attention. So I was just curious.
I'm looking it up as we speak.
There we go. I'm sure all our listeners are screaming at their device saying, "You dopes, he went to
X." I think it's Missouri.
Is it? Okay.
But there's a there's a possibility that that Missouri's also getting a TCU transfer.
Oh.
At quarterback.
Embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, based on what they did offensively, you know, that seems like a pretty – they weren't very good defensively, Missouri, but that seems like a pretty good place to put a quarterback.
Yeah.
Was it Drew Locke that was putting up Drew huge Locke. Numbers there?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the bowls that people around here seem to probably care about. First okay. one is the Belk Bowl, right?
Yep.
In Charlotte, that's Virginia and South Carolina.
December 29th.
Yes. What are your early thoughts about it? I know this is early in that we won't talk again, but early because we're 9 days away from the game or whatever it is.
Yeah. What's Virginia about? A touchdown underdog, which feels about right. Except, I mean, South Carolina's roster is hurting right now. I mean, I was talking to Andrew Ramsbacher, who used to cover UVA up in Charlottesville. And he's now down in Columbia working for the state, and he does secondary football, primary men's basketball. And he was telling me that the Gamecocks have had, I believe the number he said was 15 season-ending injuries this year. And, man, that's a lot. And their best player, whose name escapes me, he's skipping the bowl for draft prep. So it's not a full complement that UVA is going to see in Charlotte. And Virginia's healthy. I mean, I think Virginia's got a puncher's chance here to win its first bowl since Marcus Hagans was the quarterback and they beat Minnesota in the Music City Bowl down in Nashville. And to beat an SEC team, that'd be a heck of a pelt for Bronco Mendenhall's program.
Well, particularly since the ACC, you know, has had such a down year, if they can come out in the bowl season and pick up some wins over high-profile opponents, that definitely helps ease the pain of a mediocre season.
Yeah, and it has been. I mean, the only Power Fives that the ACC beat out of conference were Clemson beating Texas A&M in South Carolina and Duke beating Northwestern and Baylor. Everybody else in the league was 0-14.
Right, that's combined. It's not SEC. They've not won only four games against. They've won four games against all Power Five.
Yes,
which is dreadful.
Yeah, that includes Virginia losing at Indiana, includes Virginia Tech losing at home to Notre Dame.
So, Power Five plus Notre Dame.
Yes.
So
they do count.
They do. They're in their own world. I guess the big thing for Virginia, I mean, last time we saw Jake Bentley on the field, I believe, the South Carolina quarterback, he
threw for 500 and some yards.
Against Clemson.
Yes.
Well, no, that's not the last time we saw him on the field. They played.
They played Akron
afterwards. Yes. But against Clemson, he had a very impressive performance.
He did. Absolutely did.
So that'll be the key, I guess, to stopping.
Yeah, and a terrific test for Virginia secondary, which has two first-team all-ACC players in Bryce Hall at corner and Juan Thornhill at safety, both deserving first-team all-ACC players, by the way.
Going into the season, that would have shocked you. If I told you that they had two first, they would have two first team defensive players in their secondary.
Yeah, it would have. Thornhill wouldn't have shocked me. Bryce Hall, yeah.
Well, based on what we thought they were going to be going into the season, getting anyone on all ACC seemed like a little bit of a stretch because we both thought they would be right around 500. I thought below.
Well, they're one win north of 500.
That's true.
So.
Virginia Tech, they play a couple days. One of the football gods have blessed you guys with early kickoffs.
Yeah, noon, both games.
Yes. So Virginia Tech kicks off a couple days later up in Annapolis in the Military Bowl. Second year in a row we've had a school from Virginia play up in Annapolis.
And last the third time in five years. Or 6 years.
Last year was not so good.
No.
When Navy couldn't stop scoring against Virginia. I think Virginia returned the opening kickoff.
Joe Reed returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, and the Cavaliers never scratched thereafter.
And then, yeah, it was a apropos bombardment from Navy after that. This year, a little bit different in that a team's not playing in their home stadium. But Cincinnati has been a very good team this year.
Cincinnati is 10-2 with the only losses to Temple in overtime and to UCF. And Cincinnati comes into the game. They're ranked 7th nationally in scoring defense. And I use this word, you know, with air quotes, held Central Florida to fewer than 40 points, which not many people did, and pitched a shutout or two. I think they've got 3 first-team All-AAC defensive players this season. Their freshman quarterback was the AAC Rookie of the Year. Now, I think the Bearcats are legit. I think this is when you look at the disparity in one-loss records, you know, Tech at 6-6, Cincinnati at 10-2, the only other bowl that matched teams with 4 win disparity was Arizona State at 7-5 playing 11-2 Fresno State.
It didn't go so well for Arizona State.
No. It was competitive for a while, but Fresno State ended up winning.
How do you feel like the game's going to go?
I think the Bearcats are going to win.
Has your thought process on that changed since the bowl was announced?
No. No, I've thought Cincinnati from the start. Now, hey, I thought Tech was going to lose to Virginia. I thought Tech was going to lose to Marshall. The Hokies are playing their best football of the season. This is the first time all season that they've won back-to-back games against FBS opponents. I think you can make the case that the Marshall performance was their best of the year. Maybe at Duke.
I think Marshall.
You can argue that because it was on the road. But considering everything that was at stake, the back-to-back performances against UVA and Marshall, to me, if I'm a Tech fan, that's really encouraging. I just think the bar is a little too high for this game.
Well, they needed the win against Marshall to get in. So right. So you have the pressure of that. You're playing in not a 100% normal atmosphere in Blacksburg. So you have those things working against you. You have to win, and they came out and blew the doors off of Marshall.
Yeah.
I think that's their best performance.
And the offense in the first half, I mean, Ryan Willis, we talked about this two weeks ago. Yeah. Threw 4 touchdown passes and for 200 and some odd yards in the first half. He was great. And Trey Turner continues to make plays, the true freshman receiver. They've really got to like his future. And the defense came up with some big plays.
Here's the thing that's hard to square is that for so long in the season, both you and I were doing second takes and third takes trying to figure out, what is this team? What is their identity? How can we accurately guess what's going to happen week to week? And now that they've got some consistency, it's very hard to trust it still.
Well, it is, and you never – bowl prep is so crazy because there's such a lag between the end of the regular season. What does momentum carry over? Does it not? Now, one thing Virginia Tech is playing for, and I think this means a lot, not only to the staff but to the roster at large, is – Virginia Tech is playing for a winning season. The Hokies haven't had a losing season since the bowl streak started. That's a big deal. You're talking, this would be 26 consecutive
yeah.
winning seasons. Ask UVA the difference between 7-6 and 6-7. You know, how did they walk away from that Military Bowl last year? Now, granted, part of it was the margin, too. Was it matched the largest deficit ever by an ACC team in a bowl.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 42 points.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Clemson didn't lose that badly to West Virginia in that Orange Bowl fiasco. They gave up a lot more points, but they
scored some.
They scored some as well. But, no, I think that there's going to be some motivation on Virginia Tech's sideline, without question.
That's why I'm going to take South Carolina and Virginia Tech in those two games.
Wow, okay.
I just think, man, bowls are so hard to predict, and I do think the motivation of getting to that seventh win will be very helpful. But, you know, if you told me, we've only had five bowl games to this point. They were all on Saturday, right? Appalachian State, new coach, or their coach leaves. You've got all that. And then they come out and just destroy the team they're playing.
Yeah.
Which to me was, I would, you know, if I'm valuing how confident I feel about teams winning, I wouldn't have put App State that high based on the coaching dissension.
But they're really good, though.
They are good. And that happened again on Saturday, I think, with – there was another game, I think, that had Utah State. Utah State had Matt Wells, who's gone to Texas Tech,
mm-hmm.
playing a good North Texas team.
And – crushed
boat them. Raced like 39 points.
It was not a good day for Conference USA.
No, but I mean, I just ESPN had an article last week about North Texas. Can North Texas be the next UCF?
I know. I thought that number one. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, going to play in Orlando is a little different than going to play in Denton, Texas. But Seth Luttrell, you know, obviously he's done a fantastic job at North mm-hmm. Texas, and he's going to get a good job at some point.
Former Carolina assistant.
He's being very picky about – he could already have had a bigger job if he wanted one. But, yeah, for them to get just run off the field like that, both those games kind of surprised me. And Utah State is a very good team, but both of those were surprising. Speaking of ACC games – the first ACC bowl game isn't until this Saturday. I believe it's Wake Forest and – do you remember who they're playing? Is this the Gasparilla Bowl?
No, Wake's not in the Gasparilla Bowl.
They're in the Birmingham Bowl against Memphis.
Yes. No chance.
Really?
No.
No, I mean, I think Memphis is really good.
Yeah, no chance.
Mike Norvell's another one who I thought would get a head coaching job this offseason.
No, the Deacons are going to get crushed. No, the Gasparilla Bowl I know is South Florida and Marshall. Because I remember paying attention to where Marshall was going after they played the Hokies.
First Responder Bowl, Boston College and Boise State.
That's a tough game for BC, but yeah, they didn't close strongly.
No, how healthy are they?
Well, I think Dylan should be back to, you know, closer to 100% given all the time off. I don't think Anthony Brown is going to be back, though.
You would think, based on the game they play, that Boston College, maybe I'd be able to out-muscle Boise.
Mm-hmm.
Same day, Minnesota, Georgia Tech.
I think Georgia Tech's going to ball out for Paul Johnson.
That is, without question, the most fascinating offseason of any ACC team, right? Trying to change.
Oh, as Jeff Collins tries to change offenses.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of that hire?
Well, Temple seems to be the go-to place for Power 5 schools. I mean, you go back, Al Golden, Temple to Miami.
That one didn't work out.
It did not. Steve Adazio, Temple to Boston College.
That one's been okay.
Okay. Some BC faithful are still a little iffy on it. Matt Rhule, Temple to Baylor.
Jury's still out.
Yeah, and now Jeff Collins. Temple to Georgia Tech, former Georgia Tech assistant,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see.
Coached
how
at Alabama,
mm-hmm.
Florida. Who's DC at Florida? Yeah, it would be interesting. He's a very good recruiter. He had that reputation, but you know he only had two seasons as a head coach and was right 15-10, I think. So pretty good.
Just to go back just a second and backtrack, because it's been bugging me. The South Carolina player who's skipping the ball is Deebo Samuel. They're wide okay. out.
Those who aren't in the studio missed Teal getting up, walking away, and finding that name.
Yeah, it was driving me crazy. I'm like, I know there's a wide receiver who's skipping the
ball. It's
like
a scratch you can't reach, huh?
Yes.
I thought it was an interesting hire. I thought they were smart to not hire Ken Wisenhunt. I still thought Tony Elliott probably should have got a look, but, you know.
Well, maybe he did.
Maybe he did. But that if they were going to have to wait on that one, mm-hmm. they just can't do it. Not with the way the early signing period set up, which stinks. It hurts coaches who, you know, punishes coaches who are involved in these games.
Yeah. It's as late as the playoff goes.
Speaking of Temple and Duke. And Temple's hired Manny Diaz, Miami's defensive coordinator. That one maybe hurts Miami a little bit because
mm-hmm.
their defense has clearly been very good very good this year. A little misleading last year because of the turnover chain, but by and large, not bad.
No, I mean, the chain was all the rage and just the momentum it created for the team and the program. You know, they created 33 turnovers last season. I don't know what the number is this year. Not quite, but statistically, they're better.
It's all about marketing, man. Doesn't really even matter if you only create four, as long as you got a catchy thing that kids like.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fun hire. I like that for Temple, and I read somewhere where they're making him the number three paid coach outside the Power Five.
Wow.
Ponying up some dollars for Manny Diaz.
I think Duke beats Temple though in that bowl game.
The way Duke closed the season, no confidence.
I think this is the chance Daniel Jones has got to
ball
put it
out
together. Yeah, for scouts.
For the NFL draft.
And he'll be in the Senior Bowl, I'm sure.
Well, he's not a senior.
Oh wait, he's a junior?
He is. He's gonna have to declare to.
Oh man, jump now, kid! if anyone don't get exposed for another year.
Yeah. He certainly doesn't want to play UVA again next year and throw three more picks like he does every season against the Cavaliers.
I hope that we see like a turnover owl next year, like just a big, or maybe a like a turnover John Chaney, just like a big necklace of John Chaney.
I've seen turnover cheese or a cheesesteak suggested.
Oh, that's
on Twitter.
Pretty good too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, where else we talked about Clemson, Notre Dame. What else am I missing in terms of bowls for ACC schools?
NC State.
They play. Well, I do have one, and we'll come back to that one because I don't know who they play, but I do see Pitt and Stanford in the Sun Bowl.
In the Sun Bowl.
Yeah, I probably think Stanford probably is going to outmuscle them. Certainly Clemson did.
Yes.
NC State, Texas A&M the Gator Bowl.
Really good game.
Yeah, I think so. You know, familiar coaches.
Dave Dorn and Jimbo Fisher from reuniting from their ACC days.
Texas A&M arguably gave Clemson their best game of the season, right?
Yes.
So do you think, Ryan Finley is a senior.
Yes, he is.
I haven't seen if he is a top 4 or 5 draft prospect, but
no.
You know, this is, he could be a guy that could be a nice backup, right, in the NFL.
I like him. I mean, he's super accurate. He can make the throws. He's really smart. I mean, he's not the most mobile guy out there, but I think he's a really good quarterback.
Speaking of NC State, did you see Jalen Samuels on Sunday?
How about that? Most yards rushing by a Steelers rookie since Bam Morris in 1994.
And they've had some good ones since then.
You think?
Le'Veon Bell, James Conner. Well, James Conner's not a rookie, so that, I guess he wouldn't be in play this year. But, yeah, I mean, and he's been playing kind of like he was at NC State, playing kind of a flexible mm-hmm. tight end, hybrid, H-back kind of play.
No, he was.
He was never really a full-time tailback in college.
No, he was not. And he was awesome on Sunday. And he also made the biggest reception of the game. There was this third down play where Roethlisberger gets flushed right and kind of fakes like he's going to run. And the linebacker takes a step forward. Roethlisberger throws it over his head in between defensive backs. And there's Jalen Samuels for a clutch third down conversion. No, he was huge on Sunday.
Man, maybe there's something to be said about the person playing tailback in that offense doesn't necessarily matter. It's just, man, they've got a good system because both guys that have lined up there this year have had some success.
No question. But getting back to that, Gator, I think Texas A&M wins that game.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I think so, too. All right, let's jump over to recruiting.
You're missing one, though.
What am I missing?
You're missing Syracuse and West Virginia.
I am missing that one.
In the Camping World Bowl.
Syracuse.
No Will Grier.
Right. That was surprising to me.
That he's skipping?
Yeah, because quarterbacks generally aren't at big risk for those kind of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
He could have lit up Syracuse.
Yeah, you think? I think that's a huge, huge blow. I think Syracuse is going to win the game.
Syracuse is the surprise. I thought the surprise of the ACC this year.
Sure.
You know, I think Will Grier has had a very good career at West Virginia. I tend to think that Dana Holgorsen's offense is pretty good for a quarterback to work in. So mm-hmm. I'm sure whoever's the backup will find some success. I still like West Virginia.
Okay.
But I mean, do they announce coach of the year in ACC already?
Yeah.
Was it Dino
Babers? No. It was Dabo.
Yeah. I would have picked Dino Babers, but that's only because the team that's expected to win always is the one that you just don't ever think of. We don't reward excellence as much as we reward surprises.
I think it was the quarterback drama and the whole Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence thing that convinced voters, you know, this guy didn't just dump a bag of footballs out on the practice field and say, go play. He had to coach and manage.
Then I should be coach of the year because if you go back and listen to our signing day podcast last year, I told you Trevor Lawrence was going to be the quarterback at Clemson this year. Speaking of signing day, that's a nice transition.
Thanks
for setting me up for that one.
Sure.
Signing national, the early, I have a hard time not saying national signing day. The early signing period begins Wednesday, tomorrow, the 19th, and runs, what, 2 days? Is it through the 21st or is it a whole week?
Yeah, most everybody's going to sign tomorrow.
Yeah. So has Virginia capitalized at all on their success this year, last 2 years, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was looking at the rankings this morning. This is just one rank. This is Rivals. Has Virginia Tech 30 and UVA 32. And numbers 4 and 5 in the ACC behind Clemson, Florida State, and NC State.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And 24/7, by the way, has Virginia Tech 4 in the ACC and Virginia 6.
Okay.
Both in the top 35 in the country.
Yeah. So very similar to Rivals. As we talked about when he committed, Juwan Briggs is the kind of the centerpiece of the class, so to speak. He's the defensive tackle out of Cincinnati. But they recently got a big-time offensive lineman out of Pennsylvania. Jacquay Hubbard, who's very highly regarded. They've got Virginia's not making a lot of headway yet in state, but they do have a kid from over at Indian River High, a defensive tackle named Ben Smiley. So they're probably not recruiting as well as say Mike London did in terms of star ratings, but I think Bronco Mendenhall, in terms of success rate and who he's offering, the Cavaliers are faring much better, obviously, than they did the first two go-arounds.
And Ben Smiley, I mean, you believe what you believe in terms of offers, how accurate some of these websites are, but he had a ton of offers from high-level teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good get. They've been kind of quiet down the stretch. I think they've only had a couple commits since October.
Yeah, the Hubbard kid was recent.
Yeah, but if you told us before maybe a year ago that they'd be inside of the top half in the ACC in recruiting, you'd have taken it, right?
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, Virginia Tech doesn't seem to have been really hurt by their up and down season. If you pay attention to these rankings,
no, and I don't think the season at hand has as much effect on recruiting as you might expect. I think kids are looking for a fit. They're looking for a relationship. They're looking for opportunity, playing time, and that bond with an assistant coach and or the head coach plays, at least in my mind, a bigger role than, say, if you're 6-6 or 7-5. And the Hokies, you know, in the last couple of weeks have hit the junior college market. Just yesterday, got a linebacker from Butler Community College, Amari Barno. Recently got a defensive tackle from a JUCO, Deshaun Crawford out of Mississippi. And also got a recent defensive tackle from up in Woodbridge. He's a high school kid who, if the rival site is accurate, 6'1", 303 pounds, Joshua Fuga.
Well, Virginia Tech's going to need some of those JUCO guys to come into play because of the transfers they've lost this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got a severe depth problem.
Especially on that defensive side, absolutely, in that front seven.
It's a combination of guys transferring, and then some of the other maybe highly touted guys haven't lived up to what maybe people expected them to be. But they're going to have to get guys in and playing immediately.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the quarterback offseason is going to be very interesting.
Fascinating.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. With Ryan Willis and Josh Jackson and perhaps one or both freshmen with Quincy Patterson and Hendon Hooker. And then you mentioned kids who might play right away, and we talk about the defensive side. But, you know, they have a commitment from the state 100-meter champion up at LC Byrd. He's a receiver, Jaden Payute, who certainly, you know, he's a 6'3 wideout. And given Justin Fuentes' desire to play 7-8 receivers a game, he could factor into the mix immediately next year. They got an athlete out of Virginia Beach, Cox High, Tavion Robinson. See how he might fit in. But he was a very highly regarded prospect as well.
Well, you should go to dailypress.com and pilotonline.com for all the signing day coverage Wednesday. And, there's always a lot of excitement, not just for the colleges, but also for the local kids who get a chance to announce where they're going to play.
Absolutely. And Old Dominion, not to leave them out,
yeah,
picked up a junior college quarterback yesterday. Stone Smart.
That's a good name.
Isn't that a great name for a quarterback? Yeah, JUCO out of Riverside, California.
Well, since you mentioned Old Dominion, that seems like a good transition.
I am just teeing it up for you.
Yeah,
think I'd been on vacation.
That seems like a good transition over to basketball, where the Monarchs had one of the big upsets of the season, beating Syracuse.
Dave Johnson and I were swapping texts about this the other day. Neither of us was really surprised. He texted me, he said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you? I said 3.
Huh.
I mean,
you're following it closer than I, so.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse is number 25 in the country, and an iffy 25 at best. It's not like this is a top 10 team that people have going to the Final Four.
But this is where Syracuse gets people. It's the teams that don't play the matchup zone all the time and don't see it all the time, right? I mean, that's why they're so good in the tournament.
True, but Old Dominion sees zone. Old Dominion has played some zone. Jeff Jones is a really good coach, and he had his team right now. Hey, they struggled like crazy. This game was 33-23 at halftime. Old Dominion's down 10.
Yeah.
But, again, defense travels. Old Dominion is ranked 20th in the country in defensive efficiency right now. They really play effective, mostly man-to-man defense. And then in the B.J. Stith is scoreless in the first half, and he comes out in the second half and goes for 18.
I think he was just named player of the week in the conference for the third
straight
week.
For the third consecutive week. He's been really playing well lately. It's his senior year, last go around. His dad, Bryant, of course, the Virginia All-American, who's on staff.
Pretty good in college.
Yeah, and playing with his dad right there on the bench, which is really cool. And a heck of a win for Old Dominion. They've won six straight. They play at Richmond on Wednesday night, where they should make it seven in a row. And just looking ahead, fascinating first weekend of the conference season. Because, you know, with Conference USA, they play
Thursday. Everything's fascinating for that conference.
Well,
this year.
They play Thursday, Saturdays, and you're either home or on the road, and with the quick turnaround. And on January 3rd and 5th, the Monarchs open with two of the three best teams, or expected to be two of the three best teams in the league, with Marshall and Western Kentucky. So it's going to be really interesting.
You know, here or on the
No, road? Here. So that'll be a very quick test right out of the gate in conference play. But it's at home, so Old Dominion's going to want to come out and go 2-0 right away.
Who's ODU's travel partner, do you know?
Charlotte.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so ODU off to a good start.
Yeah, 8-3.
With a signature win.
Mm-hmm.
Radford, we talked about a couple weeks ago. They played Clemson well.
They did. They were ahead, I believe, 7 or 8 points at one point of the second half. But then Clemson just kind of wore them out late.
But clearly, if they stay healthy, they're the favorite in the Big South, you think?
I would think so, yeah.
Based on what they've already done and mm-hmm. and what they did last year, winning the conference and winning a tournament game. Virginia Tech, they had that setback a couple weeks ago in the ACC Big Ten Challenge to Penn State. They've bounced back with 4 in a row, including the win over Washington. Now, I know Washington isn't what we thought Washington may be going into the season, but that's a quality win against a Power 5 opponent.
On a neutral floor up at Atlantic City, Nikhil Alexander-Walker with another sublime game. I think he was 9-for-14 from the floor, ended up with 23 points. And there's another team that's defending really well. Tech is also among the top 30 in KenPom's adjusted defensive efficiency, and that's a big improvement from last year. I think the Hokies were in the 60s or the 70s.
I don't know the answer to this, or you may not either, but when you have depth issues and you're playing such a short bench, does playing quality, high-level defense hurt you?
Well, it certainly is more grueling.
Yeah,
where it wears you out a little faster, but they need to, because if they don't, they're going to get battered on the boards, and then all bets are off.
I guess if you have to take one or the other, you'll take good defense and get tired.
Yes, exactly.
And I shouldn't have taken a shot at Washington. Their losses are good. I mean, they lost to Gonzaga by a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Auburn early in the season.
Yeah.
So they've got some quality losses.
Auburn's still unbeaten?
I don't know if they're still unbeaten, but they beat them by 22.
Yeah.
Man, Auburn, Tennessee, what a performance for the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Completely flipped. You're so accustomed to seeing Kentucky up at the top, and to see Auburn and Tennessee with I hate to say retread coaches, but coaches who...
Well, they are retreads.
Yeah, you're right. There's really no other way to say it. Rick Barnes was out at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Pearl obviously had some other stuff off the court that was problematic, but they've turned those two programs into both are in the top five, right?
I think Auburn's 7,
Tennessee's
3.
In the top 5, yeah.
Yeah, Auburn goes to NC State tomorrow night.
Yeah, you were mentioning before we started recording a couple of very interesting non-conference games coming up this week.
Yeah, Virginia goes to South Carolina tomorrow night. Now, hardly a vintage Gamecocks team, but it is the Cavaliers' first outing without Kihei Clark, who had his wrist operated on the other day. He's got that hairline fracture in the left wrist, and it clearly bothered him just handling the ball when he tried to go left against VCU. Now, otherwise, he was awesome in that game. He played such good defense and was a primary reason that Virginia won that game. And Tony Bennett has not really given anyone a timetable on how long Clark might be on the shelf, But I'm interested to watch just to see what Virginia looks like defensively without that on-the-ball pressure that Clark brings.
Well, I mean, are we looking at a month? Are we looking at, I mean, is he going to be back January 5th? Because that's a big one against Florida State.
I think it's conceivable that he could be back for that. I don't know if probable is right, but I think it's possible.
So Buffalo, you mentioned,
yeah, Buffalo and Syracuse.
Buffalo still undefeated.
Yes.
ESPN.
I don't know anything about their personnel.
Yeah.
But I think it's great when you look in the top 25 and you see Furman and Buffalo and Nevada. I mean, it's
Nevada in the top five, right? Or so.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for the game. It nationalizes it. It gives the, and I know they hate the label, or some hate the label, the mid-majors hope, and shows that, yeah, if you put together a solid, experienced roster, you can play with the big cats.
Nevada, I'm not saying this with any data, Nevada may be the best mid-major I've seen outside of Gonzaga since Gonzaga started their run. I can't think of. I'm sure I'm missing some.
You're probably missing
but
Butler.
But they're really good.
Butler was really
they
good.
They were. But they were, when they made their runs, they were never a number one seed. Nevada keeps on their course. They're going to be a number one or two seed.
Certainly among the top eight.
It's
seeds,
not like
yes.
Nevada's surviving and thriving playing a weak schedule with no players. They're loaded. Mm-hmm. They've got transfers up and down the roster. They've got high-level NBA prospects,
and he's talking
and an
about
NBA coach.
Yeah, I was gonna say you said NBA, and Musselman has those chops. Yes.
Duke, Texas Tech still undefeated.
Yes. Yeah. Play at the Garden on Thursday, I believe, and I think Duke plays tonight against Princeton. So I think Duke's playing Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. You know, the circus. Playing Texas Tech will be interesting because they haven't had a tremendous amount of challenging games since that loss, right, to Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
Gonzaga, by the way, just was rolled the other night against North Carolina.
Carolina, I told people this in preseason. Carolina has the best of both worlds. They have these high-level freshmen like Kobe White.
He's very good.
Yeah, dude. He's really good. And then they have the older guys like Luke May and Cam Johnson. I mean, that's what you want. You don't want just, at least if I'm a coach, I don't want all freshmen like Coach K has essentially at Duke. Although Marquise Bolden has come up with some minutes here and there. And Jack White has given them some big-time play off the bench.
But if you are going to take all freshmen, you might as well take the freshmen that Duke has.
Yeah. Hey, amen to that. But I'd rather have more of a balance. And I think that's what Roy has put together. Now, I know they've had a couple hiccups, most recently down at Texas. But I think that team can be really good.
Well, you mentioned the undefeated. Auburn is not undefeated. But here are the undefeateds left. Texas Tech, Furman, Buffalo, Kansas, Virginia, St. John's.
St. John's hasn't played a soul, by the way. I know Shamari Pounds is really good, but they haven't played anybody.
Houston, Nevada, and Michigan.
Okay.
Because they have ESPN has a neat feature of when they think teams are going to lose, when they'll have their first loss. They don't have Michigan having their first loss until January 25th.
Wow.
They have Virginia against Florida State.
Not on January 5th.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying they think – they're saying this is when they think they're going to lose, but maybe it's what the numbers are showing most likely percentage of games when their first loss would come. So
at home, though, that surprises me.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on college basketball as it unfolds. Anything that we're missing here?
I think more likely Virginia's first loss would be at Cameron in mid-January.
Well, you know, it's funny. They go to Clemson, so that'll be an interesting one, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get Virginia Tech at home on the 15th, and then they go to Cameron.
Yeah.
For all the hype about Duke and North Carolina, you look at the ACC standings, and who's sitting there undefeated? It's Virginia.
Yeah, and granted, it's non-conference and such.
Not as good as Carolina's and Duke's,
No. But I was looking at KenPom's website the other day, and how his algorithms or formulas project the conference season. And right now, he's got Duke winning the ACC at 14-4, followed by Carolina at 13-5, and Virginia Tech and UVA at 12-6.
Wow. I don't see six. Well, we'll see. I think six losses is pretty on the high end.
For which Virginia team?
For Virginia.
Okay.
I can see it for Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
I can't see it for Virginia. Don't you think six is high?
It does. Well, it especially seems high given that, they're coming off, 17-1?
Yeah.
They've had 16-2s before that.
Yeah. I'd say four is more closer to what I would guess.
This is all mathematically. And they do have, KenPom's site has Old Dominion leading Conference USA through the first 12 games of the league schedule. And then, of course, they can't do the projections for the last four because that's the that's the schedule that all depends
right, yeah,
on
yeah.
the conference standings and such. You don't know who you're playing in your last four games yet.
Well, I always say it's good to end on advanced metrics. So, let's call it a day for this podcast. Like I said, we'll have a really short one for next week on looking back at the year. And we wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Y'all enjoy the holidays. Be safe. Keep your family near and close.
And we'll see you next year.